back.
All right, good. I was just sitting there thinking, who would have ever thought that we'd have fun singing hymns like that? I mean, I've never in my life sung a hymn until I came to this church. Matter of fact, we started singing hymns. I said, well, gosh, that doesn't sound like the Christian music I listen to. What's all this? But I tell you what, I learned very quickly. I love it. I love those hymns, man, because the gospel message is in them, and it's a good thing, and I praise God for it. So pray for me. I started going to a chiropractor. I have a lot of metal in my body, so there's certain things they can't do, but a lot of them just work with the skeleton. These here work with the muscles. And so she said, we'll work around with your muscles and we'll get you, hopefully feeling better again. She said you might be sore a few days afterwards. And I just kind of went, yeah, I've been there before, you know. Oh, no. Woo! Yeah. I feel like a Mack truck hit me today, man. I'm just like, wow. But pray, because they want me to go twice a week. And, I'm willing to go to get some help to help limber me up a little bit, strengthen my core. I used to have a very strong core. I could deadlift almost 700 pounds. I can squat over 600 pounds, but my core has turned into, well, yeah, you can see what my core turned into. But anyway, we call it the Maury curse because all of us have it. My brothers, my sisters, all of us have that belly. And so we thank God for it. I got some good news before I got on. I work with a lot of men and women who are in jail and prison. And so one of the things that's different from Liberty Behind Bars is, when they get out, I want to establish them in a good church, right? I want to get them into a church. And because when they come home, most of the guys got to go to a halfway house or they got to go to a rehab of some type, and they get lost. It's over with. We don't hear from them again. We don't see. And so pray, because I believe the Lord's getting ready to open a door for us to start a transition home out in Rochester. But that's in the works. That's why I've been the last couple of weeks, meetings in Rochester, looking at houses and stuff like that, and maybe God will open that door. But I got a picture from Pastor Hector, and this guy Chris Ruiz, who is going to be the director of our home. It's what he does now. He works in the secular field in those homes. But a guy I worked with since he's been in the Monroe County Jail and through prison just got out on Tuesday, and he got a hold of me. And my heart just flutters. Listen, my heart flutters when them guys get a hold of me. I love them. You got to understand, I put everything into them guys. I put my blood, sweat, and tear into those men, and I love them. And so here he is. He's out and he gets a hold of me and he's got to go to a halfway house. And I go, my goodness, Lord, please help me. I don't want another one going by the wayside. So is there something we can do to intervene in helping him not go that way? And Chris popped into my head. Chris Ruiz is his name. He popped into my head. I'm getting a hold of him right now. And I got a hold of Chris and said, Chris, listen, this guy, I'm sending him to you, man. I said, he needs you. Please. Get a hold of him. He goes, I'll get a hold of him right now. He got a hold of him. I just got a picture of all three of them in church today. Amen. What a blessing to be at. Listen, that's what Liberty Behind Bars is about. It's helping them try to get established in a good church with people who love them. Amen. They're not judging them. They want to love this man and have him come in and sit and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the smile that was on the man's face was just unbelievable, man. I loved it. And so I thank God for that kind of stuff. Continue to pray for Liberty Behind Bars, because God's putting us out there on the road. Okay, he's just going to keep us out there. We'll be home on Wednesdays, unless churches schedule us for a Wednesday. We won't be here Wednesday or Thursday, but we'll be here most Wednesdays until we get later on in the summer. But the Sundays from here on out, we're going to be pretty busy out there. So, pray for us. I got a challenge a few weeks ago from a dear friend of mine. And I mean, when I say a dear friend, he knows I love him. And I got a challenge a few weeks ago, and he sent me a quote, and here's the quote, and he says this. He says, if you're going to fight, fight like you're the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark, and brother, it's starting to rain. And we all know that them animals went two by two. You're the third monkey. And that got me to think, well, what can come out of this? You know what got me thinking? Well, what do we fight for? What is it out there that we're fighting for at this moment? What about, Pastor preached the message on believing and that being your will. Are you fighting for that? Put yourself in that monkey's position. And what are you out there willing to fight for? What would be going through your mind if you're standing on that ark and you know that it's starting to rain and that flood's going to come? What's going to be in your mind knowing you're that third one, that there's two ahead of you?
Would you have the courage and the strength to take that second monkey out of his place who will also be fighting for his life? Are you willing to put yourself, do you have the courage and strength to do that? What about your soul? You're on that ramp. There's two ways you can go. You're going to go up in the ark or you're going to go down to hell. That's it. There's only two ways you're going. And that's standing, whatever it is that's standing in your way. Are you willing to fight it? You willing to put yourself out there? And so the challenge for me was to incorporate this in the message. And I just came to my mind is, what are you willing to fight for?
That's good.
What is it that you're willing to fight for? And so I want to share with you here a few minutes. And it got me thinking here. And I said, would we fight for our position in Jesus Christ, Christian? Will we fight for that position? Will we fight for that position that we have in God's house? How about it, lost person? Will you fight for your soul? Or are we going to lay back and just let God come and rescue us? That's what we believe. I remember before getting saved, I remember about 6 months before I getting saved, I remember it turning into a battle. I remember that turning into a fight for my soul. I remember having a fear come over me every time I did something and I thought maybe I stepped out of line too far or I went too far this way. And I remember a fight incurring inside of me of fighting for my life, fighting for my soul. And so not only would this monkey be fighting for his life, but he'll also be fighting for a position or a standard that's dear to him. My goodness, I travel around a lot of churches and I see and I go, where'd the standards go?
Yeah, try it.
What position are they fighting for? I don't see it any. Where's the position that Bible you stand in, brother? Hey, pastor, where's those standards that you had in that church? And I'm not talking about some legalistic nonsense. I'm talking, people have taken that Bible, Tanya, and they've replaced it with every program on the planet to get people in there and put them in hell. They're no longer fighting for that Bible. No longer. I taught my Sunday school this morning. I said, let me just tell you this right now. Your whole key to life, I don't care what you do in life, your key to life is that book. Your key to life is to take this thing and not just turn it into some religious nonsense. Look, religion never saved anybody. I just want you to know that. Religion just makes you conform to something. I don't have religion. Religion conformed me every time I was in jail or prison. I would conform to that nonsense. You know what it did me? Zero. Still lost. When I finally got that relationship with Jesus Christ almost 10 years ago, thank you, Jesus, for a relationship and not a religion. But it came down to a fight. Would you be willing to lay down your life and stand your ground for this fight? The fight that we call life, we will die. It will come to an end. Your life is going to end. Your life is going to come to an end. You know what the Bible says? Then comes judgment. Is not your soul worth fighting for when that judgment comes? Hey, let me just say this. Oh, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe it for it to be right.
Correct.
You don't have to believe it for it to be true. God forbid if I have to look one day and I'm in a turn and I got to go look over in that pit of hell and there you are. Man, all you had to do was believe that. Is it worth the fight? What about eternity? The fight will end. There are many things we'll fight for in life. And I'm going to name a few. You know, we'll fight for our life and our sickness. We'll fight for our life and our diseases and our cancers and the protecting of our rights and of our jobs and our freedoms and our families. But to lift a finger to save your soul, you won't fight for. God don't want to save me. There's no such thing as God. There's nothing coming after this. I'm going to just die. I'm going to go back to the ground. God doesn't want to save somebody like me. And that's the flag that's being waved. Is it your soul worth the fight? We fight against the governments. That's what we want to do. We want to raise up against the governments and we want to preach against them and what they're doing and making us conform. But yet, what about the people who are dying and going to hell this day?
Amen.
Some of them today
are that third monkey, and they're not going to make it in the ark.
Yeah.
Some of them today are that third monkey, and they're not going to make it. People, there are you sitting in this church that are that third monkey, and it doesn't look like you're going to make it.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
We'll fight for these things, but we won't fight for it. What about it, Christian? Our Christian life isn't in jeopardy today in the days that we live. Will you end up on Noah's Ark saved from the flood of sin, shame, and guilt, condemnation? Or will you, lost person, end up cast overboard in the raging flames of hell? There's nowhere else. There is nowhere else. You're either getting on that ark or you're going to be cast off. You're the third monkey, remember. There's only room for two of you to get on. What's going to happen? Christian, you know why America's in this, and a lot of it's shape that it's in? Because the Christians have taken the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
We try to go through Facebook and governments and all that. You lost that we need prayer. You lost the whole, let's stand up for the standards of what we used to stand on. Those things that we used to live by. This isn't an instruction manual for people anymore. It's just another novel to them. It's just more words on paper. Is it not worth the fight? The position you end up in is worth the fight. I watch people and all they're fighting for all these things that will end. Look at my friends, I just want you to know this. The things that you're fighting for today will come to an end. That's what you're fighting for. And they won't lift a finger to fight for those things that are for eternity. It's not even an afterthought. They don't think about their soul anymore. Most of my family they have no care in this world about what happens to their soul. They're living in the now and now. Jody, this whole thing fighting for Christianity is not in them. But listen, you don't want what's on the other side of it. Oh, they are okay. I watch Facebook church. I'm all right.
Yeah, right.
You know how many times I hear that? I understand. There's a tool. There are people who are sick. There are some things that need. I get it. But today, that's the new norm. Facebook church.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to get dressed. We don't have to do nothing. It's funny. The friend of mine that is watching, he said this. I was texting him. He didn't answer back. I said, I don't know if he got connected, Amy. And he wrote back. He goes, ha ha. He goes, I just had to take a shower before church. I said, that's a good one. That's a good one. But, you know, at least he done that. Most people are not doing that. Look, turn with me to Ecclesiastes. Look, I want to share with you a few minutes here. Out of the Bible, the position we end up in is worth the fight. I watch people put all the fight into things that will end and never lift a finger for their soul or those things that are pertaining to Jesus. Here we have it in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And I want you to read it. We're going to start reading in verse 13. And look what he says here. Ecclesiastes 5, chapter 5, verses 13 through 17. He says, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked he shall return to go as he came, and he shall take nothing of his labor, which he shall carry away in his hand. And verse 16 says, and this is also sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All these days he also eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. What is it that you're fighting for today? What is it that you're living for today that is more than your soul? But let me just say this. Those things that you're fighting for on this earth, you will not take with you. Naked you came in the world, and naked you're going back out.
Right.
There's nothing on this planet worth more than your soul to Jesus Christ. He fought for it.
Right.
Won't you? If you're not a believer here today, understand this, that Jesus Christ
died for you, regardless if you believe that or not. There was a time that I did not believe that. I would read a Bible and play jailhouse religion and look real wonderful. But inside, I had no belief whatsoever. If you would have came up to me and said, do you believe that Bible? I would have quoted anything to you out of that Bible I could, anything. There wasn't much Bible I didn't know. I thank God for his mercy who took a lot of that nonsense from me. He had to reteach me. Not even kidding you. He stripped that from me because he couldn't get to me with my religion. He had to strip that religion away from me, Pastor. All that knowledge. That's why it says in the Bible, it says knowledge puffeth up. It gives us a big head. We think that we're something we're really not. And it shows us a mirror, Brother Tony. And guess what? We don't like to look in that mirror because it shows us who we really are. But it's worth the fight to Jesus. It's worth the fight to you. And he says here that all those things that you work, it's you work and you labor and you go through all these things. He says, for what? For the wind. Because it's going to go from one generation to the next. There's nothing to it. What happens if you close your eyes in death today? Do you know? That's the question. Most people don't have a clue, or they just really don't care. They don't believe anything's going to happen after death. So therefore, they don't fight. I'm here to tell you, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's going to make you rich. Woo, that ain't happening. That ain't happening, especially if you're somebody like me who God can't trust with money. God can't trust me with money. He's had to teach me. He's had to teach me. I grew up poor my entire life. I look at my wife, I said, Amy, I grew up poor my entire life, so having nothing is the norm to me. But you know what? You can't put a price on what happened inside of me.
Amen.
You can't put a price on what has happened inside of me. What you see on the outside is nothing, just an old world dude. But inside of me is a totally different person. Inside of me, I don't have those depressions and those suicidal thoughts. I don't have to wake up on the side of my bed every morning, Tim, asking Amy, why did he make me live again? I don't have that. I get up and say, okay, Lord, what would you have me do today?
Nah.
Huh? I got something to look forward to today. Hey, Pastor Hand, if I close my eyes right now, you know where I'm going to be? Sitting with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How about that? You got that? You got that assurance in you? Because if you don't have that assurance, you better get it. Is that not worth fighting for? The Bible says examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. What do you mean? Go ahead and cross-examine yourself and be honest with yourself. Stop lying to you. You know what? Everybody else sees it. God sees it. God sees it. God sees that you're a deceiver. Your heart is deceitful above all things. God help us. And here we get into this. 1 Timothy 6:12. And I want to show you what it takes to fight. You know, most people want to look and go, you know, Christianity is just a crutch. Ha ha. Huh, Christianity ain't no crutch to me. Look at Christianity ain't for the weak of heart. Hey, it takes a man and a woman to be a Christian. Why? Because we're standing against everything else. We're the ones on the outside. We're not on that broad road. We're on that thin road. You know what it takes to be on that thin road? A fight. It's a fight. Because we're not doing what everybody else does. What do you mean, weak? You think Christianity is so weak? Jump into it with 2 feet then. Stop playing the games. Get in it. Get in it. I'll tell you what, there ain't nothing like it though. I lived in gangs. I've done drugs and alcohol, lived in prisons and jails in 3 different states, mental hospitals, rehabs. I've done all that crazy nonsense out there. Ain't nothing like living for as a Christian though. Ain't nothing like that. I'm just telling you right now, ain't nothing like the pieces of past all our state. I believe that my septic tank has caved in. This morning, that's what I woke up to. I got all these people texting me. There's things going on all over my septic tank. It's not working. I don't know if the pipe froze or if it sunk in. It looks like it caved in. I didn't go, oh, God. All right, come on, Amy and Luke. Let's go. We're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing our septic to cave in. And now we're going to be able to get it fixed. Maybe there's an issue with it. Did I not do that, Amy? You see me whining and crying about it? No, you know why? Because God's in control. He knows it all. But to get to where I'm at today, it's cost me some blood, sweat, and tears. You know why? It's worth the fight. It's worth the fight that my wife is saved. It's worth the fight that my 2 children say that they're saved. It's worth the fight to see Joe Amaya sitting in church today, from prison to church.
Amen.
That's right. It's worth the fight. Thank God for it. Look what it says, 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You see that? You know what that is? That means you have to do something. You know what Pastor said this morning? It's your will to believe. Lay hold on eternal life. Grab that thing. It's there. If you're going to come to the Monday night Bible study tomorrow night at Sam and Charity's, I'm going to preach on a love that seeks. It's a love that seeks. It's a love that seeks. Because you know what? He wants you to grab a hold of that thing, Tim. That's what it says. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight that good fight. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. My friends, what are you known for fighting for? You know, take a look around and say, man, what do people think that I fight for? Is it the things of God? Is it the house of God? What do people say? No, that person fights for this. Or no, that person fights for this. Can they say you fight for the things of God? Can they say that person is fighting to get saved? That person is being diligent because they really want to be. Can people, what are they looking at you and saying you are a fighter of? If you were the third monkey, you'd be tossing monkeys off of that ramp to save your soul. Why wouldn't you do that today for being saved? Christian, why won't you do that today for this life that's going to be in jeopardy here in the United States of America? Take this time now, in this time of peace, Christians, and prepare yourself for what's coming. You know, God gave us a command in Ephesians 6. He gave us armor to put on. Why do you think he did that? Just to have words on paper and just, oh, that looks real good. No, you put it on every day. And let me just tell you this, you're going to leave a piece off. Since I've been praying to put that armor on every day, I realize every single day I leave something off. And the devil's right there to get in on it. You know, get up the next day and put it back on. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. What did he say? Fight the good fight of faith. What profession are you known for by others? What are they looking at you and saying? Well, this is what I see about, I believe that person loves Jesus Christ. Or I believe that person's, what are they looking at you and saying, that's what you are a professor of? Are they seeing the battle? Are they seeing that fight in your life? Hey, how many of us, I don't, but how many of us have people knocking on our door saying, I want what you have?
Mom.
Why is that? That's a challenge to us. If we don't have people wanting what we have, we're doing something wrong. We're not living right. We're not fighting that good fight of faith. The Christian life is not for the faint of heart. It's not a crutch to lean on. It's an ongoing battle. It's fought on a daily basis. But in this battle, there is victory, peace, joy, abundant life for now and through eternity. My goodness, I get to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. 10 years ago, that wouldn't have meant nothing to me. I would have called you a fool for saying that to me. God in his mercy. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Some of you have been in the military, so I'm going to go through a little military drill with you. I'm going to share with you a little about military. Because remember, we're that third monkey. And we're on that ramp. And it's starting to rain. And it's going to take more. Just a weak thing to get that second monkey out of his place so you can have it. It's going to be a fight. Okay, and so look at here. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verses 3 and 4, if you get there. Look what it says here. Thou therefore endure hardness. Uh-oh. You see, there's men out there who are promising people in jail that once you become saved, everything's all good. And when those guys come out of prison and they realize, wait, where's all that good? You will endure hardness as a Christian. I remember getting saved, Brother Ronnie. By 6 or 8 months after getting saved, I just remember the thought coming to my head. It's time to put on the boots. I'm getting ready to go through basic training. You know why? Because me and my wife got on our knees next to our bed. And I held her hand, she held mine. And we just both in tears. Be careful what you pray. Just I don't regret it now. But I remember me and her praying, saying, send us wherever you would. Do what you need to do to get us ready. Oh, goodness. Had to put the boots on, Pastor Hain. Why? He says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Look at it says here. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Not of man. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. That means God has to allow things in your life. Why? So that you can fight those things. Why do you fight them? So that you come to that point where you hate them the way God hates them. Why? Because you won't easily go back to it then.
Amen.
If God allows something lightly to come out of your life, then you'll heavily go back into it. But if you fight to get out of what God wants you to get out of, it's most likely you'll never return to it again. That's why God can put me anywhere on this planet. I'll never go back to crystal meth. I'll never go back to crack. I'll never go back to smoking. I'll never go back to drinking. You know why? Because I got Jesus in me, man.
Amen.
People say, I got Jesus in me. They get on the street and they disappear. Where'd he go? Did you leave him in jail? You see, God has to build people up. You take a soldier. You can't just take a soldier, dress him in a uniform, and send him overseas and expect him to survive. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may what? Please him who hath called him to be a soldier. And God has called me to be a different kind of soldier today, Nick. I used to be a soldier in the game. I was what they call a first. I had some power. I could put a green light on somebody. Well, that green light means I could put a hit on you, Dustin. I don't like Dustin. Hey, man, why don't you take care of him? Boom, it's over with. It's done. That's it. It's over. But you see what it says here? That he may please him that chose him to be the soldier. Paul is a man, Saul in the Bible is a man who killed Christians, drug them out of church. You know why God loved him? Because he knew if I save him, he'll serve me just as hard as he did out there for that religion. Mm-hmm. You know why God loves men in prison? Because they'll do what I do. We'll serve him just as hard as we do as we did out there on the streets. But see, the thing is we got to get a hold of their hearts.
Right.
God's got to get a hold of their hearts, and they'll become that soldier. They'll become a different soldier. To become a soldier, one must first enlist voluntarily. This is a picture of somebody who is repenting and who has turned and has gotten saved by Jesus Christ. Within a few days or a few weeks or a few months, this recruit is now brought to boot camp. This is a picture of that new Christian facing the world now as a saved person. Listen, when you put a fresh soldier out in battle, he's never seen it before. He's done similarities, he's done simulations and everything else. But the very first time he steps on that battlefield, he's like, whoa, this is different. This is different. This is what God does to a saved person. He's got to take them from himself just as he is. He takes them just as they are, Tommy, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
He puts them boots on him and gets him in that boot camp. But see, what's got to happen, Sam, is that person's got to voluntarily sign up for that. It's your will. God's working on your will for you to choose to believe. Then you get that enlistment. Once in boot camp, the drill instructor and others that are in rank, which will be God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, they're going to teach us. And they're going to begin to tear down any semblance of that person, who they were, and the things that they did, and the way they spoke, and the way they acted, and the way they dressed. Isn't that what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says? It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Not maybe, might be. No, he is a new. There's no room for doubt that. That person's a brand new creature. There's no room for doubt in that thing. Old things are, not maybe. All things are passed away. They will go away. Let me ask you this, Marine, Air Force, Army, whatever you win. You think you could have stayed the same person you were in the military? Not for one second. They're going to tear you down and make you exactly what they want you to be. Well, what do you think God's going to do then? And the more you resist, the harder it gets. And he's going to tear it down. You see? In order to be a Christian, he calls you to be a soldier. How about it? You have to be in a soldier? You up to being a soldier? You up to that fight? You see, this ain't for the faint of heart. This ain't for the weak. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And look what he says here. And he'll instill the new things that a soldier needs to endure the hardness of that battle. After boot camp, that soldier is now sent off for personal training in spiritual warfare. In church and ministry and so on and so forth. It's not about the physical battle when you're walking into the Christian. It's a whole new battle now. See, now we're standing there. Now we're going to fight things in the spiritual realm. Yeah, I was a pretty good fighter back in the days. I could fight. Today, it wouldn't take much to take me out, okay? It's just how it is. Well, I'm not like I used to be. But you know what my biggest battle is? You know where I've gotten victory spiritually?
Amen.
You can keep the physical. You can have it. It didn't never do me any good. Look at my body. You want to go ahead and tear it apart? Take a look at what's inside of my body and tell me, what did the physical help me? Zero. But there's a new battle, Nate. It's called the spiritual battle. Let me tell you this. Without this Bible, without Jesus Christ, you'll never know how to fight it. You'll still be that third monkey. And when that ramp starts closing, you're still going to be there. No, this is no longer a physical fight, but a spiritual. With this new, which is new to this soldier. You cannot fight a spiritual battle with physical weapons. You cannot, let me say that one more time. You cannot fight a spiritual battle with physical weapons. The only physical weapon that's going to work that we can hold in our hands is this book. Here, they're issued their battle gear. Their weapon, which they need to know inside and out, right? You know, as anybody in here who's ever been in the military knows, when they give you that gun or whatever that weapon is, you can tear it down and put it back together. You know why they do that? It's because you don't even have to think anymore. You just react. Well, God wants you to know that with your Bible.
Yeah.
This is your weapon. You don't even have to think. You know this weapon, Stephen. You can go out there and just take anything. That's how God wants to make you. That soldier can tear down that gun, put it back together. Sometimes they make them do it in the dark, blindfolded, or whatever else. I've heard many stories of how they do it. And you know what, Christian? God wants you to know that Bible the same way. But you know, hang on. I'll answer that question. Let me go home and read my commentary real quick. Let me get a dictionary for you real quick. Now, I'm not saying they make tools. Please don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, that should not replace our Bibles, which it is doing in America today. That's the new fad. Let's just replace the Bible with what somebody says. If you don't know your weapon inside and out, it's useless to you. Anybody in the military that's ever been in the military will tell you that. What is your weapon good to you if you cannot know how to handle it? If it jams, do you know how to unjam it? If it's getting hot, do you know when to stop? Is this kind of round or that kind of round with the windage? And you see, all that stuff is very important. Well, that's how it is with us in this spiritual battle. God has given us a weapon. Why? Because you know why he gave us a weapon? If I put a weapon in your hand, Tim, that means there must be coming a fight. There must be a battle that's going to happen. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. You see? You know why he had to put on the whole armor? You know why it says he had to put on the whole armor? Because God knows we like to leave stuff off. Well, today I'm not going to live so righteous, so I'm going to leave that breastplate of righteousness off. I don't feel like being peaceful today, so I'm not going to dress with a shot of my feet, shot with a shot of peace. I'm in a bad mood today. I'm not going to read my Bible today. So you didn't put on the sword of the Lord. He said, that's why he says, put on the whole armor. You can't just determine what you're going to put on and put up. Hey, when you're going out there and you're going to go and do your military exercises, you have to be dressed in certain gear all the way 100%. You can't leave one thing off. Mm-hmm. Why is it any different for us then? Why is it any different for us? We expect to go out there and fight a spiritual battle. We're human beings. God's got to fight that battle. But if we're not dressed the way he wants us to dress, if we're not prepared the way he wants us to prepare, how can we do it? I believe Christians would be a lot happier if they learned how to do it God's way. You see what here says? In the power of his might. Not the power of my might. He says, well, when you're done all, he says, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand, that means when you've done everything else on this planet that you could do, you know what he says to do? Stand. Hold your ground. Many times out there, those men, you hear wars back, World War I and World War II, they had nothing else. There was no tanks coming, no airplanes coming. They had to stand their ground and fight every last bullet. Then they had to put their bayonets on and get out there and fight. They stood their ground. How about it, my friend? How about it, Christian? How about it, unsaved person? You're going to stand your ground when you've done all else that says to stand. And then he says after that, he goes, after you've done it, stand therefore, having your loins girt about the truth, having the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you're able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, which and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Praying always. Me and Charity talked about praying this morning. You know what I catch myself doing? If I'm in a bad mood or somebody made me mad, I won't pray for them that day. We're just children. We're just childish when it comes to that. That's not what that Bible tells us to do. Always. It's not based on your feelings. But we let our feelings. That's why it says, girt your loins with truth. You see, we put on the truth with the word of God. And we'll, you know, Paul said this, when I became a man, I put away childish things. We need to put away childish things because people are watching. People are listening. Children are watching every move we make, whether we realize it or not. There are people watching us. Okay, look what it says, and I'm almost done. Praying always with prayer, all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. Now the soldiers can be sent forth to fight. They're now dressed in the armor of God with the sword, which is the Bible. They're praying and they're watching with all perseverance. That means persistence for all the saints. Just as a soldier is sent to protect his brothers and his sisters in arms, any military persons, they love their brothers and sisters that are in arms with them. You know, they always say, you know, it's not like we're always just dying. So I don't know how the quote goes, but I'm not just dying for my country, but I'm dying for the one next to me. That's what we're supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to go out there with all perseverance and warn our brothers and sisters, listen, the battle's coming this way. I'm not gonna push you away because we have differences. We need to come together in this fight. You know, we're losing in America because we have too many differences. And you know what the Bible says? Have the same mind. Everybody's going in 1,000 directions. We need to stop and come back together. And as that person who's in the military fights for his brothers and sisters in arms, as he's fighting for his land and his country and the people, we're to do the same for our brothers and sisters and our families and our churches. We travel so much and we're getting ready to go out more. One thing I've come to realize is how people despise their church. Despise it. Despise the people in it. Despise the things that go on there. They can't even stand their pastor. I'm not even kidding you. I see it all over the place. You know what that brings? Unity? It's a constant division. Why? Because it's not worth fighting anymore. Mm-hmm. Nobody can put down something. Nobody can forgive this one. Nobody can do that. Everybody's got to stand their ground one against another because we do this or because you do that or this is that. That's what it's all become. It's just a big division in the church anymore. Nobody's fighting for that thing. It's time for Black Creek to start fighting for that thing. Get back up. Let's get in unity, man. Let's do this thing together. Let's fight for our children. Let's fight for our country. How do we do that? By the things of God. Praying one for another. Lifting one another up. Loving one another. That's what we're called to do. How am I going to go out there and tell a gang member, hey, man, come to church. They'll love you there. And they're going to walk around with a knife in their back. You guys hear me quote this often. I've been stabbed more in the back as a Christian than I ever did as a gang member. How do we stop that? Is it not worth fighting? Is not Black Creek Baptist Church worth fighting? Look around, my friends. Look around at that. What if there's a lost person sitting next to you? Is that soul not worth fighting for what this church has? Or we just let them be third monkeys, Nick, and watch them being cast over? We're all going to stand there at that judgment. We're going to see that happen. In America, we have many memorials and soldier memorials of brave men and women who fought for our country and they lost their lives. And they've become heroes, rightfully so. In the Bible, we have soldiers of the Lord, heroes who also fought and gave their lives for Jesus Christ. They gave their lives for churches and His people and His kingdom. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to read this very quick. You don't have to turn it. Ken, if you want, I'm going to read a few verses, then I'm going to close, because I want you to see that we also have some heroes in our Bible of men who fought for the things of God. They fought for the gospel. They fought for their church. They fought for, guess who? Us who are sitting in the pews today and born again. They fought and put themselves out there. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read verse 17. Look what it says here. This is by faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he he received the promises offered up upon his only begotten son. Hey, how about it, my friends? What if God challenged you to give something up that meant the world to you? Are you ready? What if one person, Brother Neil, what if God challenged me and you and said, you got to give this up, that person to get saved? Would you do it? Is that soul worth the fight? Look what it says here. Accounting all that God was able to raise him up, he had faith that God was able to raise his son up. That's why he done it. He trusted, he believed that God could do it. And look what it says. Even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention from departing of the children of Israel. Go over to verse 32, because I want to get through this last part here. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, of Jephthah and David, and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight and the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised from the dead, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, more over bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain of the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. My friend, you know they went through all that for us. They thought your soul was worth fighting for. There's some heroes. I'm not taking away anything from our military, because they are heroes for giving their life for our country. And they deserve that. But I'm going to tell you, we got some heroes written in that Bible. When's the last time you thought about them and what they've done and what they went through, so that you can have this Bible in your hand, so that you can have a church here in America built on the Bible, built on the Word of God? How about it? Are you still that third monkey? Is it worth the fight for you? As that monkey would, to fight for him? Is this whole Christian life that we're supposed to go out there and portray to people because we just think it's the best thing on the planet? How about it? Are we going out there showing that to people? It's kind of hard to convince people to come into a church when all they see is bickering and fighting.
All right.
What better life, Tim, can we offer them out there? Anybody in here don't have family that's lost? Why aren't they sitting in this church pew today? Could it be something that they're seeing in us? What about friends? You love your friends? Oh, I love my friends, you know. I know they smoke dope and they do that. Okay, good. Be patient. We love them. Invite them to church. Well, they always rejected. Does that mean stop? Did God stop with you? Did Jesus Christ stop loving you when you rejected him? I did it for 40 years. He never stopped. You know what? Jesus Christ, Tim, thought it was worth the fight. It was worth him waiting for me. How about it? This third monkey here, I'm going to end with this. The third monkey was on the ramp of Noah's Ark when the rains began. He would have fought with all of his might for his life. And so these men of faith here on earth, because they knew that they were fighting for the lost souls of billions and a better country called heaven. Let me ask you this. What fight will you be known for throughout eternity? What fight will you be known for throughout eternity? Pastor Hayden, I'm done.